car now. We'll arrange to come take the vehicle out of your hands. Not running? That's okay. We'll have it towed away at no cost to you. You get a tax deduction, and even better, you don't have to worry about it ever again. Just call 1-855-KPFT-CAR right now. Don't wait. There's no time like the present. 1-855-KPFT-CAR to donate that vehicle this hour. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston.
Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. We are going to have an open forum today. Call-in lines are 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Well, I've been away for a few days. I hear Sid did a good job last week. That's great. So I was in Oahu. And I don't mean that as a brag. I just mean that as I was in Oahu. You know, traveling, I hate traveling. I really do. I love having traveled, but I hate traveling. So, just some observations about the trip in general. Airplane seats, horrible. The only thing in our lives that gets smaller as Americans get bigger. Airports, my God, the walks are long. I did a little research before the show, and I actually have a link on today's show announcement at thinkwingradio.com. The longest walks at the airport, as terminals expand and moving walkways disappear, you could be in for a serious hike to your gate. Now, I don't have any specifics about intercontinental, but they're saying that walks from gates to baggage can be anywhere from a half a mile to a mile and a half. I totally believe that. I think a mile is probably like about right for intercontinental. And, you know, there are folks that have trouble walking that kind of distance. I have trouble walking that kind of distance. I have back issues that to walk that far to baggage, and then, of course, to haul the baggage, I can spend 3 days recovering from that. And yet they don't have wheelchairs readily available. I mean, you kind of have to request them, and then you kind of have to look for them. The electric carts, not really enough of those either, and you have to catch them. So that's a real issue. These are long freaking walks. But that's airport stuff. Let's talk a little bit about Oahu. Soft island breezes, as they say in one of the old TV series songs. Almost no place has air conditioning. It's the first airport I've ever walked into where you leave the plane into an open-air gateway area. So it's like, hey, if it's hot, you're hot. If it's cool, you're cool. If it's humid and hot, which it often is, that's what it is. So that was interesting. I have to say, the people that I met, and I am kind of an inveterate chatter, which is weird, because I actually consider myself to be a basically shy person, but I'm always striking up conversations. And, I mean, obviously there were exceptions, but man, everybody was so nice and so interesting and so, in most cases, mellow. I was a window covering installer for 20 years, so I worked in many, many neighborhoods. And one thing I learned is not to judge a neighborhood by, oh, this looks like a poor and dangerous neighborhood. I think I need to keep my windows up and my doors locked. I've actually been in homes, many, many homes, in so-called poor or so-called bad neighborhoods. And I've learned very much to judge a neighborhood, rich, middle class, or poor, very much by the immediate environment rather than by any perception of reputation. And to get back to my point, because of that, I got into conversations with people that a lot of folks would have said, oh, I think I need to get quickly into my car because these two guys look really weird. I struck up a conversation with those two guys. And, you know, they were both veterans. One was Marine. One was Army. They just loved Hawaii and they wanted to be there and they had great stories. I spoke to gift shop people. I spoke to desk people. Had a couple of conversations on airplane. I mean, it's really just amazing the things you can find out that totally break your preconceptions when you stop and talk to people. So, I mean, the folks there, amazing. Everyone I met, anyway. There's also some politics there. You know, we were on the North Shore. We were in Waikiki along the south and southwest shore, and we drove up along the east shore of the island. The island is only about 31 miles at its longest point, and that sounds like you should be able to get anywhere quickly, but you end up driving at about 30 miles an hour on a good day. So it still takes a long time. But on the east shore, there is some politics. You know, there's a whole history of Hawaii. We went to visit the Dole Plantation. We went on the tour. They talk about all the great things that Dole has done over the last 100-some-odd years, 120, 130. They conveniently leave out the fact that the guy who was running Dole in the late 19th century became the president of Hawaii after overthrowing the legal royal government. I mean, you know, that was 100 years ago. You can argue whether they should be independent now or they should have the equivalent of reserved areas for natives. I mean, but the east side is more political. It's like Hawaiian flags fly upside down. So that's interesting. You may recall that everything in Hawaii is shipped in. Everything. It's an agricultural state, but, you know, gasoline, building materials, energy of various kinds, all shipped in. So first thing you notice is gas prices are about 50% more, gasoline prices. As you're flying in, and then when you're driving around, if you keep your eyes open, what you'll see is there are a lot of buildings and houses with solar panels, and there are a fair number of windmills for power. Hawaii has made it a state goal to basically be self-sufficient in renewable energy, so that's interesting. And then just sort of on a separate note that's indirectly related to airports and generally, if you've ever lost a cell phone, especially if you've lost it in a place that like has a lost and found and you figure it's been in the lost and found, especially if you have your locator turned on and you can see it's physically in the area of the lost and found. And yet when you call, they can't find your cell phone. And it's like, there should be nothing in this world easier to return than a cell phone. If you leave it charged, somebody is going to call and say, is this my cell phone? Where are you? And you know, if they wanted to charge like $50 in order to keep the phone charged and then mail it back to you, I think that would be perfectly reasonable. $75, even $100 maybe. And at the Vancouver airport, where my wife lost a cell phone a few months ago, the woman actually said to me, oh, we have tons of cell phones. We have so many cell phones that get lost, we end up having to store them in a warehouse. It's like, just charge them and leave them turned on, and then answer them, and you will find the owner of the phone. It's nuts. Just absolutely crazy. One of the inexcusable things about modern life. Okay, let's do this. Quick station ID, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on 90.1 FM in Houston. My website is thinkwingradio.com. My Twitter is @thinkwingradio. You can listen live anywhere in the world at kpft.org when I am live. And, of course, you can also download a podcast at archive.kpft.org. I am now downloading my podcast, so that's pretty cool. Okay, we do have callers and open lines. The phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. First caller up, I believe, is Scott. Scott.
Thank you.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, yeah. I did a posting on Facebook. I referred to candidates A and B. That's for president. Would you believe I got a comment? Candidates A and B are too old to be running. Now, what I had said was, I do not believe that candidate A is the only candidate who can beat Donald Trump. Then I said, if you attack candidate B and candidate B gets the nomination, you have made it more difficult to defeat the Donald.
Are you asking for my opinion on that?
Oh, whatever.
I mean, you're reluctant to name names, and I guess I'm not.
Well, I purposely did not give names to candidates, but somebody thought he could read my mind, and he said they were too old to be running.
Well, I will.
Okay.
I'm not going to read.
I'm sure he thought that He thought that candidate A was Joe Biden and candidate B was Bernie Sanders.
That would be my inference.
That is not what I intended.
Interesting.
But he thought I was speaking code.
Can I ask who you were referring to then? Would you mind?
Hypothetical candidates. Now, there is a buddy on Facebook who is very insistent that Joe Biden is the only candidate who can beat Donald Trump.
Yeah, there's a guy on Facebook.
I did not mean that.
There's a guy on Facebook who's like constantly saying it's got to be Bernie. It's got to be Bernie. Everybody else is too right.
Yeah,
everybody else is right. Light.
It's the same way.
It's really annoying. It really is. I'm at the point I just don't pay attention. I mean, I don't want to cut him off. I don't want to block him or unfriend him, but it's at the point where I just really don't pay attention to him because it's just too annoying. You can't say anything.
Yes. Well, I've said I like Kamala Harris because she said in her book she had the courage to say it was the time to dismantle the war on drugs. But she's not top in the polls right now, so I don't know, and I'm not completely on anybody's bandwagon, but I know what issues interest me.
Well, let me speak to your first question, and then I'm going to go on to the next caller, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, policy aside, and keep in mind, there's probably virtually no one who can get the Democratic nomination that I won't vote for over Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get that aside.
Same here.
Yeah. As far as Biden and Bernie go, just speaking to the age issue, not even talking to the policy issue, it's not that I think they're too old. I think they're too old to be president. Now, I have been accused of ageism, but I don't think so. I think that I am making that choice on the merits. First of all, they're both in their late 70s. So they'll be in their 80s when they're serving for president. They're literally near the actuarial end of their lives. Instant death can strike anybody, but actuarially, instant death can strike them at any moment at their age. That's number one.
I'd simply like a younger generation.
And there's that. I think that whatever their accomplishments, whatever the virtues of their policies, and I think that if they have good policies, whoever is elected will probably do something with those. That's just how campaigning works. I think that a younger generation, and I'm talking even in their 50s and 60s. You know, Elizabeth Warren, I was surprised to find out, is 70. She strikes me as a younger, more with-it person. But she's actually 70. But actuarially, she's not near the end of her natural life. And she does seem to be much more connected to contemporary issues and younger generations. So I like Warren, even though she is older. But I think Biden and Bernie, their time has come and gone. As president, I think that there's a lot they can do in service to the country in various capacities, both governmental and non-governmental. I just don't think that they should be president. But I'll vote for them if one of them is nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else, Scott?
I think that's it. Thank you.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. KPFT.org is how you listen to the station from anywhere in the world, even Oahu. You can also find me on thinkwingradio.com, where I put all kinds of links to the stories that I think I want to talk about and maybe never get to, but you can link to the stories and see what my sources are, at Thinkwing Radio on Twitter. And remember, KPFT always needs your support, whether that support is monetary, which you can do at kpft.org and click on the donate link, or just spreading the word. If there's stuff that you like, if you like Thinkwing Radio, if you like the Bradcast, which, by the way, is a great, great show, you should download that as a podcast, maybe including mine. There are lots of different ways to support KPFT, but word of mouth is not a trivial one. Tell your friends, remind them we're here, tell them what you like, suggest what they might like, and you can always listen to the archive or get a podcast. Okay, so we have open lines, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Next up is Greg. Greg, how you doing?
Mike, my mom went to Hawaii about 40 years ago plus, and she enjoyed it.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
I wanted to talk to you about this whole thing lately with the president and the issue of race.
Yeah.
In the campaign lately. I got a chance, I don't know if you saw CNN about a week ago on Wednesday, and they had these five Trump voters who were women, okay?
Mm.
And they were all from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And one of them said, I'm a brown-skinned woman, and I don't think Donald Trump is racist or bigoted.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought that struck me when I heard this is this. And as an African-American, we have people who may, not everybody, so I'm not going to say that, but there are some people who will act one way when you're around them and when you're out of earshot and not in direct contact with them, they act very differently.
Yeah, the public face, the private face.
Right, yeah, public face, private face. And the thing that got me was, well, if you earnestly believe that, you don't know that the very people that you come in contact with put the public face on for you and may say and act totally differently when you're not around.
Yeah.
And it.
But that's a very human thing, I think. It's not admirable, but it's human.
No, it's not. But it's human. But what gets me, and I don't know how many people have seen the video from the rally in North Carolina where they're yelling, send her back, send her back, send her back.
Yeah.
I saw this one young lady who was leading it, and she was so proud of herself in leading this. Okay. That's fine. But you also got to understand, as an American, that there were people who were willing to pay the ultimate price for you to act an idiot and think like an idiot if you wish. So if you want to talk about patriotism and claim that you're a better patriot than somebody else, that's fine. But you also got to be honest. And this country at times does not know how to be honest when it comes to the issue of race, how we deal with people in race, how we act about it. We play these games with each other. Like the president, the next day, he goes,
lied.
Tried to stop them.
Yeah, he lied.
We're plainly on the video, he did nothing, and he said nothing.
Yeah, they forget that we can see them.
He relished it. So if any of the people who really believe that he's not bigoted, I hope you never get in a situation where you're confronted by some form of discrimination that affects you.
Well,
because when it does, you will be the first one wanting all the tools and ideas that have been used to make sure that this place tries to be fair.
Well, I can't go into people's heads, although God knows I often try anyway. But, I mean, I think that there are two distinct threads in American life and American history. There are our grander national aspirations, which are worth aspiring to. And then there's what people do every day. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about, and I think it's obliquely related to what you're discussing, this new term that they use for these four women, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Rashida Tlaib, the squad.
Yeah, the squad.
So now that, I'm sure that started as a demeaning term in the Capitol building. And then it was picked up by the media. And now, like KCDC, I forget her last name, but now it's KCDC.
Casey Hunt.
Casey Hunt, thank you. And I was watching her last night because that's something I try to catch before my Monday show. And she was just, she talked about the squad. This is now the second show I've seen, and I missed one because I was out of town. But two shows ago and this time, she referred to the squad. I was offended by that. First of all, I think if she's going to use the term, at the very least, she should say the so-called squad. Because the term is intended to be demeaning. It's like, oh, your little squad. I mean, that's essentially what it is. And the fact that these women are young, the fact that they're freshman representatives, the fact that they're women of color, and the fact that this term, the squad, I would bet dollars to donuts that this came from conservatives, whether Blue Dog Democrats or Republicans, because they're very good at creating memes. What upsets me, and I was telling my wife this last night, I mean, I'm 68. I've seen a lot of elections. And after every major election, the media, we really didn't do a good job. We must do better next time. They never do better. And the fact that they keep adopting insulting memes, that they repeat Trump's insulting nicknames, the fact that they take this term, the squad, and now that's their shorthand for these four women as like a publicly acceptable name when it's intended as a demeaning term. These things really, really upset me. And I don't know what we can do to stop it except to protest it publicly.
Yeah. And I think the other thing we as Americans have to get better at doing in this, and I've said it on here before with you, we have to have an open, honest dialogue about stuff. We don't want to have it. We're afraid to have it.
Well, let me ask you a question or make a comment. I guess you can take it one way or the other.
Sure. All right, I'll answer it.
We talk about having the courage to have a public discussion. I got to tell you, it took me at least a year before I was willing to discuss race or abortion on this show because I was afraid I would step into a landmine. Now I consider it sort of a safe space where people can say what's on their mind. I don't judge publicly. But if you don't have the courage to confront problems in your household, with your wife, with your husband, with your spouse, with your kids, if you don't have that courage, and I got to tell you, many of us don't, at least on certain topics, how can we have the courage to basically talk to strangers or semi-strangers about important national security things like race and discrimination?
True. I think that's part of it. We have to be the ones that are willing to make the effort.
And that's why I invite people to call this show, because if you can't discuss it publicly with a stranger, you can at least voice your opinion here and have a discussion.
Yeah. And I hope, as I leave, I hope people will take into account why these things get started. Because President Trump wants to have it both ways. He wants to say, see, I'm your pal, I'm your buddy, I'm your friend. I'm not this discriminatory person.
Yeah,
I'm really a good guy. But then he also wants to play the game of, hey, I'm hanging in there with you. I'm fighting for you. I'm standing up for your values. And basically telling the rest of his fellow citizens that their values don't mean anything. And their ideals don't mean anything, except when it favors him.
Well, the only good news, and it's very, very qualified good news, the only good news that comes out of Trumpism and the Republicans Party, the Republican Party's blind following and acceptance of him, even with some grumbling. You know, we've talked about dog whistles ever since the Southern strategy that Nixon trotted out. At least now, there's no ambiguity about it. There are no dog whistles. They're actual whistles. So at least, you know, we've got that. It's out in the open. If you want to vote Republican, you're voting racist and hate and division. It's just that simple. It's the racist, hate, and division party versus the Democrats, whatever you think of the Democrats.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's really what it is. It's out there in the open. And for anybody who doesn't think that it is, you're sadly mistaken. It's there for everybody to see. You may, it's like the old saying, you can put lipstick on a pig that still doesn't make, still makes it a pig.
Yes. But a very, very appealing one. You know, a little eyeshadow on that pig with the lipstick. You never know, man. That could be a pretty pig.
Sure could be.
All right. I thank you very much for calling, Greg. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We have open lines, 713-526-5738. It is open forum. I haven't even gotten to the good stuff in my list yet. 713-526-5738. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. KPFT.org is how you follow the station, listen to the station anywhere in the world, find out what's going on, get podcasts. It's really a very, very useful website. And, of course, thinkwingradio.com and at thinkwingradio on Twitter. So, MOD, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey.
Raining up there.
Is it? Yeah, it was drizzling when I came in.
It's going to get 68 degrees, I say, tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, you see, the other side of a heat wave is a cool wave. Only so much heat to go around.
I think there's global poisoning, for sure.
One way or another. So what's going on?
I read about Epstein, and I found some interesting history on the origin of the North America slave trade. Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about Epstein. I think the North American slave trade is something that, you know, it's not exactly current events.
It's right,
history.
Yeah.
It's history. It's important. But let's talk about Epstein.
I want to know the origin of this blackmailing thing that it's starting to look like he's associated with the folks that are, you know, exposed.
There are speculations that his fortune is basically based on blackmail.
Exactly.
This is speculation. There isn't exactly evidence for this yet. But, you know, people are looking around. Reporters are looking around. People in the industry are talking among themselves. And for a guy who only manages money for billionaires, there seems to be a definite dearth of people he's done business with.
A billion dollars
is a lot of money to not have anyone you're doing business with.
Well, it's a good article, and I'll get the name. I just left work, so I don't have access to my notes, Mike. But this thing started with this guy named Rosenstiel. He was a distiller from Canada, and he basically started, you know, moonshining during Prohibition.
I'm sorry, this has to do with Epstein how?
Yep, the origin of Epstein's purpose.
Purpose, okay.
Yep, you ready?
All right, give me the Reader's Digest version.
So these moonshiners during Prohibition from Canada, Mafia, Rosenstiel, and this guy named Meyer Lewinsky.
You're talking about really the Mafia guy.
Yeah.
Meyer Lansky.
Yeah, and so these guys basically had a little birdie tell them, you know, it's going to go legal here pretty soon, and they were able to actually invest in doing what's known as like.
All right, but you realize your story is starting like before Epstein is born, right?
Oh yeah, this is Prohibition.
Okay, so how does this relate to Epstein?
Well, I'm gonna give it to you. You're gonna get started. Listen.
All right. Get to it.
So, basically the Prohibition was lifted, and these guys invested in a distillery and became what's known as like the leader's largest liquor empire. Smirnoff and Cromwell, these mafias make liquor as a business.
Okay.
And this guy named Rosenstiel and one other guy was his name, Bugsy Siegel.
Bugsy Siegel. Not necessarily a mafia guy, but a mob guy.
Yeah, he was the beginning. But anyway, this Rosenstiel guy who's like, you know, given awards and all that, he's recognized, had, you know, a fetish, homosexual fetish, not that it matters or not, but he started catering to the the government officials.
You know, MOD, I'm sorry. I guess you're going somewhere with this. But
I was right there on the cusp of it. I got one sentence.
Okay,
out.
Let's do something while Epstein is a grown man. Let's jump to that.
Well, I'll skim over that this mafia blackmailed Hoover in 56 in a room called 233, Mike. It's documented. So that's why Hoover didn't do anything for 7 years.
There is evidence that Hoover was homosexual, that he was closeted, and he may have been subject to blackmail.
Yeah, he liked dressed up as Little Bo Peep, right.
Sure.
And so they had the dirt on them, the mafia did, and so this became more like a blackmailing ring.
Yeah.
And then this guy named Roy Cohen comes around, and Roy basically fills in and starts facilitating this blackmailing ring after he leaves the McCarthy counselor position to be in a high-end law firm in New York. And he marries into the with Ronald Reagan and all that, and he busts the Franklin scandal on the second term of Reagan. There was a Boys Town. The savings loan, the Franken savings loan.
MOD, I've given you nearly 5 minutes, yeah, so, and we haven't actually gotten to the point yet.
So Roy dies in 86, and then this guy named with Mega Group, Les.
All right, I got to cut you off on this.
I had all right there. I had all right there. And you later want to speak 5 minutes, Mike. I can't get the point out.
Get to it.
That's it. Basically, Epstein filled the shoes of Roy Cohen when he passed in 86, and he started catering our government officials in the early 90s in his resorts. He was given a $57 million flat that he retrofitted to be a honeypot to do all the filming. He was given a jet. He was given a called Paradise Island. So anyway, it's a Mossad mafia blackmailing ring that's been going around since the last century from those guys I was trying to explain to you how it got started.
Okay, well, I'm going to let it go with
you
that.
Like that?
I appreciate your call, MOD.
Cool, bye.
Take care, bye-bye. Okay, we have open lines, 713-526-5738. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM. KPFT.org is how you follow the station, and you can follow the show also at thinkwingradio.com or me on Twitter at thinkwingradio. Okay, so the Mueller testimony is looming, according to Politico.com, and Trump predicts trouble for special counsel and Dems. And the way it starts is President Trump predicted, God, I really didn't mean to say those two words consecutively. Trump predicted Monday that Mueller's highly anticipated testimony before Congress this week will, quote, be bad for him, and again suggested the former special counsel should not answer questions from lawmakers. Now, I believe that Mueller is under congressional subpoena, so this is a crime. It's witness tampering. It is the president advising someone under subpoena not to answer questions before Congress. So this is just another day, another crime. The article goes on in the second paragraph that Trump claims highly conflicted Mueller should not be given another bite at the apple, he wrote. In the end, it will be bad for him and the phony Democrats in Congress who have done nothing but waste time on this. Okay, so that's that. Another day, another obstruction of justice, another crime of the guy who claims to be president. That's our world now. Okay, next. Oh, we have another caller. Let's get to that. The phone number, open line, 713-526-5738. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. Just wanted to add to the Epstein tapestry of information.
Okay.
Of threads we're pulling out here. His companion slash henchwoman, I guess, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah.
She's the one who was recruiting his Lolitas and training them and handling them.
Basically the procurer.
Yeah. And I assumed that, okay, he was just paying her. But then I found out the other night that she's a wealthy heiress. So what would her motive be to partake in this if she's already independently wealthy?
Well, I mean, again, speculation. You know, men are generally the ones that are considered to be potential perverts, but there are women who are perverts, too. And it's entirely possible that she is a pedophile.
It's possible. I think it's more like
because she
it
is reported.
A blackmail scheme.
Well, she is reported to have had.
Her father was actually part of the Mossad, so well, it's a huge blackmail network.
Well,
and they basically just entrap people.
She is reported to have perhaps participated in sexual actions with these girls or women, depending on the age. So, I mean, there may have been a sexual component for her as well, but. I think that at this point, the speculative, and I keep using that word, it's important, the speculative consensus is that essentially, aside from whatever gratification they got from using these young girls, the financial aspect is it was a blackmail scheme.
Well, not so much financial, it's just plain old power.
Well, I mean, he has assets according to court documents. He has net assets of about $500 million. He is not a billionaire, but he's certainly extremely wealthy. He could give out $1 million a year for 500 years before he exhausted his fortune, assuming that he was getting no yield. So he's a very, very wealthy man.
And before that, he was a teacher.
And before that, he was an
elite high school.
He was an undegreed math teacher.
How did he get that position?
Apparently a friend of a friend.
It's very strange. From a friend.
A friend of a friend.
Did he extort that friend? Because he was also hitting on young girls while he was a teacher and getting away with it.
Well,
and no one disciplined him.
I mean, to the extent that I've followed this, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm a maven on it, but to the extent I've followed this, he was hired irregularly because he did not have a degree, and I don't have a degree, and I, you know, sometimes there are things that I can do that degreed people can't, but in this case, that was mandatory for the job, and it wasn't used, it wasn't specified for him, and he was a math teacher, and he made connections, and he ended up getting a job at, I think it was Goldman Sachs, maybe, and he had some guy who started backing him financially, and maybe that was his first big blackmail victim. We don't know yet. At this point, it's guesswork.
It certainly seems that way, especially with Ghislaine Maxwell and her motivations and her father's connection to the Mossad. So it seems like it's very interesting. We're all going to keep picking at it, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is going to get interesting, and I think this time, as it goes through the court, there'll be some public court documents that are going to end up making a lot of people really, really embarrassed at the very least.
It's really interesting how the media has been lying on Bill Clinton's behalf. They keep omitting all of his trips to the island, and it was like 26 or so, and four of them he told the Secret Service to stay behind. So those were probably the four orgies participated in.
Again, all speculation at this point, but it'll come out. You know, it'll basically come out. Okay.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling. All righty. Let's see. Next up is Ken. Ken, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how are you, man?
Okay, how are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to drop a topic. I've noticed a movement going on around the country that's quite hard to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
This whole movement with the a certain group or groups of, you know, people, for instance, like the African Americans who claim that they are that they stem from the tribes from a tribe of Israel. I just wanted to know if you had any opinion on that. And that's it.
Well, I mean, in general, there are individuals, and Ethiopia is an area that's specifically known. There are individuals who claim to be, and in some ways appear to be, ethnically, religiously, a lost tribe of Israel. And they are allowed to emigrate to Israel under the right of return because Israel and the rabbis, who are really strict and in charge of this, which is, you know, that's their thing. Israel's a different topic. But they apparently feel that these Ethiopians that claim to be Jewish are, in fact, Jewish. So, but then there are other groups that want to, you know, just like you have black Africans that have decided that they don't want to be the pagans that they were in old times, pre-European, they don't want to be the Christians that many were converted to during colonization, and they have decided, in some cases, to become Muslims because they feel that that's more of a freedom of choice thing and it's a more African thing. At least that's my understanding, so, you know, don't get on me too hard.
No, not at all.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people who are listening.
I'm guessing that what their point is that it's not really a religious thing, but it's more of a
anti-colonial
national thing, so to say, that they stem from the loins of Judah, of Israel, the man Jacob who was Israel, and then through Judah. So this is like, this is their thing.
Well,
you know, and of course, biblically, the Ethiopians, because I did a little bit of research into this thing, into what their point is, and biblically, their point is that the Ethiopians would stem from Ham, and that they stem from Shem. So essentially, they would be Shemites, or you know, Semites, so to say.
But Shem, now, I'm not good at this. Shem was the son of Abraham.
That the
Jews are descended from, and there was another son that the Arabs,
the Arabs also come from Shem because their father is Ishmael. And then also the Jews.
Now, is Ishmael the son? And again, I apologize to people. Shem, son of Abraham or son of Shem? I'm sorry, Ishmael.
No, Noah. I'm sorry. Shem is the son of Noah.
Okay. And Ishmael is?
The son of Abraham, because Abraham comes from Noah. So they're arguing that they come from the, I guess what they're trying to do is stake claim to, you know, the promises and, you know, the rulership and also the land, essentially.
Well, I mean, there's one thing about being Jewish, and that is it's such, and I use the term advisedly, it's such an inbred ethnic group for so many centuries and even millennia that you can actually do DNA tests and see how genetically Jewish someone is. It's
right,
a haplotype. It's a haplotype. I mean, you can either be Ashkenazi Jew, you can be Sephardic Jew, but DNA can tell if you literally have a significant fraction of Jewish genetic descent. So, I mean, that would be one way of settling that. But the other side of the coin is people are allowed to believe what they want to believe. I've said for a long time, my approval is not necessary for something to be either true or legally acceptable.
Sure.
I don't have to approve.
I'll leave you with this point, if I will. Being that a lot of the African-Americans, so-called African-Americans...
Well, they're not so-called. I mean, they are from Africa, originally descent, and they are Americans. So they are African-American.
True indeed. Their argument is that a lot of them come from West Africa.
Yes.
Through the transatlantic slave trade.
Yes.
And for instance, if you study the history of, like, the Igbos in the region of West Africa, you can see that a lot of their customs... You know, and of course, some of the other guys in the surrounding areas, like the Ghanaians, Ashanti, things like that, you see that some of their customs are the exact customs of the biblical. As a matter of fact, most scholars have acknowledged them as a definite, you know, part of the lost tribes of Israel. And I'll just leave it there.
Okay. I'll take your word. I mean, that's what you believe, and I'm not going to argue with you. Okay.
Well, thanks again.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Kent. Take care. All right. We have open lines. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. I just have to make this one thing. I'm jumping down my list a little bit. But apparently yesterday, Liz Cheney, and yes, that Cheney, Liz Cheney, apparently claimed that the send her back chant was inappropriate, but not about race or gender. And there's a quote. You've heard him say the chant was inappropriate. We've all said the chant was inappropriate, but I think the news media really wants to make this about race. This isn't about race. It's not about gender. It's not about religion. That's what she said on CBS's Face the Nation. And then she goes on. I'll just finish the quote for context. These members of the House of Representatives, it's not just these four, fundamentally believe in policies that are dangerous for this nation. And as Republicans, we're going to fight against those, she said, speaking for the racist division hate party. Okay. Next up is Gary. You're on the air, Gary. How you doing?
Okay, Mike, welcome back. You know, you always have your previous shows on the computer so you can listen. They never put the 10th of July show. I mean, I guess it was the 15th of July show.
Yeah, we have been having some issues with the archives. So, for example, I think the June 10th show has been lost.
June 8th was the last one, and then...
July 8th, which...
I mean July.
Right,
I mean,
but I mean June 10th, that show has been lost to the archive.
Really?
July 15th, where Sed sat in for me last week, that has been lost to the archive, so I never even got to hear that. I don't know what kind of show he did.
He did a great show. But listen, yeah. I've called...
Wait a minute, I have to ask you. Sed did a great show?
I think so.
Tell me about it a little bit, because I haven't been able to hear it.
He was pretty much on topic, and he responded well, and he handled it excellently.
Great.
I have no complaints.
Great, because he'll probably sit in for me again in August.
All right. Well, here's what I called for. I want to make it quick. I've called to hold you and your media colleagues to account for being irresponsible.
Who, me?
Yes, you and all of them.
Okay, let's talk about me.
Wait.
How have I been? No. If you're gonna, I don't want
to
be lumped with
something.
I don't want to be lumped with my media colleagues. You tell me how I've been irresponsible.
But can I say something first?
Sure.
Just to get it off the table.
Go ahead.
To Ken. All right. In what's known historically as the Ark of the Covenant, is the staff of Moses, the tablets inscribed by God with the Ten Commandments, manna from heaven, everything that pertains to the establishment of the Jewish religion of Judaism in the Old Testament. And the Ark of the Covenant is maintained and protected in Ethiopia. So I just wanted to point that out when I talk about the Jewish African connection, not to mention that Egypt is in Africa, which is where the Jews were, let my people go, held as slaves and became refugees.
Yeah.
So Africa is part and parcel of the history of Judaism. I just want to get that off the table.
And there
now,
there are probably a lot of people indirectly related to Jews for that reason.
Absolutely. They might even evolve. Well, we all came from Africa, but going back a couple of thousands,
yeah, going back like 3,000-4,000 years, there's probably some genetic mixing.
They didn't evolve in Jerusalem because there weren't no Jerusalem.
Right.
But I want to hold you, and I mean your regular media people, your Fox media, left-wing, right-wing, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Pacifica, you are all guilty of neglect, and this is the problem. Donald Trump, in my opinion, all right, he's corrupt, he's immoral, he's a liar, but the man is mentally, stupid. All right, let's just get there.
He's an idiot savant when it comes to media.
All right, I'm telling you, he's an idiot. And he's what the Russians used to call a useful idiot. Mm-hmm. And he is actually mentally, there's a reason he covered up his SAT scores and his college scores.
I want to hear how...
Because you have all failed to mention the puppet master who is causing the death of America. His name is Mitch McConnell.
Mm.
How come he gets off the hook? After the big hubbub about, he's shown it over and over, but after, I'm getting excited, after the big hubbub about send them back, racist, Mitch McConnell comes on national TV and he says, Donald Trump is not a racist. Excuse me, hello. Most of the Republicans, the Nazi bastards, pardon my French, those people are racist. They're dishonest. They're crooked. Money, honey. That's their whole established
thing. I agree with that.
But they at least had the intelligence to keep their mouth shut. Mitch McConnell comes on. Donald Trump is not a racist. Okay, Mitch, clue us in, you complete idiot.
All right.
That is the problem, the puppet master, not the puppet. Now, tell me about that.
Well,
And my brother lived in Hawaii for 15 years, and I never went to see him, so I don't want to hear about that damn island.
Okay. All right. It's a bunch of islands. I will take what you say under advisement. Mitch McConnell is a big part of our national problem, has been for 10 or 12 years at least. And, yes, I can't speak for anybody else. I'm a little guy. I should probably mention him more. It's not that I don't pay attention to him. It's that, you know, my stuff is, like I always say, below the fold and inside the paper. I don't do the top stories because I feel like they're being covered. But I'll look at that, and I'll consider paying more attention to it. I do want to point to you, I have a Facebook page. I don't mention that much, but I do. I have Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on Facebook, and every once in a while I post stuff on there, and my shows get posted there. I very, very rarely will forward a post from the Huffington Post. It's not that I think they lie, but their bias is obvious and well-known. Their writers are often anonymous with pen names. And, you know, that makes everything a little less verifiable, a little less certifiable.
Huffington Post, you mean the liberal?
Well, yeah. And I don't have any problem with a liberal bias, but I do have a problem with anonymous authors.
I agree
okay?
with that.
But
if you've ever been on a blog, you'll agree with that.
But Huffington Post, it's supposed to be at least somewhat. Actually, no, I take it back. It's not Huffington Post. It's worse. It's Daily Kos. That's the one I'm talking
about.
Daily
Kos. Okay, I agree.
And, but there was one article that I published that I forwarded, really. And it's from 2013. And it seems to have some verifiable links in it. That Mitch McConnell, although he never talks about being a veteran, that he did serve in the reserves and that he was discharged under suspicious circumstances. And there may have been some glad handing favors done. So if you go to my Facebook page, I think I also put it on my Twitter, but it's probably buried way down now. If you go to my Facebook page and scroll down a bit, you'll probably find it. So Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on Facebook, and see if you can find this article. I just found it intriguing because it's something I've never seen before, and yet something that that there may be some actual evidence included in the article.
Well, it bothers me. You know, Hitler is the bad guy, but Eichmann got off. And then now Trump is the bad guy, but McConnell gets off. Just go back and listen to the thing. He said that his objective was to make Obama a one-term president, and he never gave the man a chance to prove whether he was or not a good president.
Right.
And then the whole thing with Obamacare, well, you can't have a black man fixing things.
Yeah.
And then this whole thing with, everything that about the climate change. Well, we can't have a black man fix it.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about
it's so obvious that I cannot believe the media doesn't just Trump's like an idiot. All right, I'm sorry.
Well,
mentally stupid, but McConnell is an evil.
Here's the thing. Journalists, and I'm not talking bloggers. I'm not talking opinion piece writers. Journalists are trained to have as much appearance as possible of being neutral arbiters of fact, and because of that, they don't. Really, their training doesn't allow for liars as blatant as Trump and McConnell and most Republicans generally, the double think. I mean, their training just doesn't accommodate it. Sometimes there aren't two equally valid sides to a story. But their training is there are always two valid sides for a story. But then you've got Trump, who makes stuff up on the spot. McConnell, who agrees with the lies mostly, Republicans, Liz Cheney going through this, it wasn't racist, it wasn't sexist, it was just a statement of fact that Democrats hate our country. I mean, what the hell is this?
Well, here's the big question, and I'm going to get off. It's not McConnell, it's not Trump, it's not Republicans, Americans, have we really become this stupid? What is it, the internet? Is it the education?
It's not just stupid.
What the hell?
I mean, the first thing to remember, you have this obsession with poll numbers. Oh, Trump's polls are down to 35. Oh, Trump's polls are up to 44. But here's the thing. When you allow for margins of error, he's always been right at 39 or 40%. And that's just the statistical fact. All
well,
the polls
that corresponds to the bell curve of the IQ, if you think.
Well,
about
I mean, I don't I don't know. You know, maybe, maybe not. You've got some people that probably would score very well on IQ who are still right wing Republicans who managed to rationalize everything that this guy does. But here's the number. About 40% of Americans still like Trump, give or take. So it will always come down to turnout. And actually, I didn't even go through my normal election thing. Just remember that you're registered for vote to vote, harrisvotes.com, texasvotes.gov. Make sure you go there. Make sure you're registered. Make sure you're registered correctly. Just, you know, so that's my public service. I forgot to do it at the top of the show.
All right, I got to let you go. My brother was in the Army. He was a colonel. He lived in Hawaii. He came home for Christmas every year, and he brought me macadamias. I hope you brought some back.
Yes, my wife made sure of it.
I'll be by this morning, tomorrow morning. Okay, see you.
All right, take care. Thank
kidding,
you.
Kidding, kidding, man. We missed you, Mike.
Yeah, I appreciate that
don't
very much.
Don't do that no more.
Well, I am hoping. I'm going to be going away. I'm actually going to Dublin in August for the World.
Irish. I can't believe it.
The World Science Fiction Convention is going to be in Dublin. And we're going to take a couple of days in London, and then I'm coming back. So that'll be from, like, the 12th to the 23rd or 24th.
All right,
23rd.
I'll settle for a six-pack of Guinness, okay?
I don't know if I can do that for you. I'm sorry. I probably have to
right,
buy
hey,
it locally.
Home,
all right, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we've got about 1 minute. So let's see. What do I want to do? Okay, here's an article that basically the thrust of the article is poll. Americans not sold on Trump or Democrats. Democratic presidential candidates are, and I got 30 seconds for this, proposing lots of progressive policies. Those policies may resonate with the base, not popular with the general electorate. Overall, independent voters said they're not impressed with the direction either President Trump or Democrats want to take this country. And then there's a quick chart. And a list, okay, about 15 seconds. So this is where there is consensus. Democrats' ideas that have a solid footing. Background checks for guns, 89% favor. Medicare for all who want it is an option, 70%. Regulating prescription drug prices, 67% of the public, Democrats and Republicans. Pathway for citizenship for immigrants, 64%. Probably time to start a little outro music for me. Legalizing marijuana, 63%, increasing taxes on those making more than $1 million, 62%, banning assault-style weapons, 57%, $15 minimum wage, 56%, whereas less popular stuff is a guaranteed universal basic income, reparations for slavery, decriminalizing illegal border crossings, and there are some others. I've got the link on my website. I thank you all for listening. I thank those who called. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I'll be looking forward to speaking with you guys next week. Have a great week.
Where freedom rings and singers sing. Where Robert Earl Keane meets Martin Luther King. From jazz, justice, peace, and rap. R&B, sports, blues, and comedy. From heavy metal standing hand in hand with our chants. We shall not be silenced by fearmongers and sycophants. The place where your neighbor is on your airwaves. A true community. Celebrating diversity in thought, music, and love. Where your stories are told in unison. The most loving words that we can say, and we say it so bold. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston. Welcome home.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi there, this is B.B. King. You know the guy that plays the guitar called...